As coaches, we're always searching for that next big idea. When you create a free USA Football account, you are opening the door to thousands of resources and coach development tools that can spark your next successful season. Create your free account today at www.usafootball.com/podcast account.
Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. We continue with our podcast with state champions from 2017. And joining me today on the podcast is Coach DeLon Parrish from Dr. Henry A. Wise High School in Upper Marlboro, Maryland. Coach, great to have you here on the podcast.
And thank you for having me.
Coach, you've just completed your 12th season as the head football coach at Dr. Henry A. Wise High School. And you've had a great career record, 120-30. During the time span that you've been the head coach, you guys have captured 6 conference titles, 7 regional titles, 4 state titles, including the last 3 in a row. So you guys have really got it going there. Tell me a little bit about your start in coaching, though, before we get into what you've been doing at Wise High School.
Well, while I was playing at Wake Forest University, my head coach, Jim Caldwell, he thought that I had a great mind for football. I should give back when I was done playing. And I had always thought about giving back in that regard. So I first started at, I believe, Wild Lake. No, I actually went back to my high school, Howard High School, coached there for a year. Then I ended up coaching with my rivals, high school in Columbia, Maryland, Wild Lake High School. I got a chance to coach under a legend that won 5 state titles and 3 separate classes in the state of Maryland. Learned a lot from that gentleman. At that point, went up to Rutgers to do a GA with Greg Schiano at that time. Mm-hmm. And from there, came back to the state of Maryland and started coaching.
Coach, for you, obviously you had the opportunity probably to stick with the college game. Why did you make the decision to become a high school football coach?
It was the same reason I majored in high school education. I felt like in high school, that's where they're still being molded, where they're learning who they're going to be, what they want to become. A lot of young people is impressionable. Some people have people in their lives and some people don't. I want to be able to reach those young people. I went to college because, again, a little story background, Jim Caldwell, once again, thought that I had a lot to give to the college game, and I told him I would give it a try for him. But at that time, I just didn't feel like that's what it was, where I was supposed to be. I did it, and then I decided to come on back and be a head coach in high school. I've been rolling since then.
Coach, I know one of the highlights of your college career is that you were a 4-time first-team all-academic, on the all-academic team. So obviously, that's important to you. The academic side is important to you. How do you emphasize that with your players?
Oh, in the state of Maryland, they have a 2.0 academic eligibility. Here at Wise, we've raised it to 2.5. It's just in a program with us. We constantly stress that you can do all things. It's called being an athletic or, athlete. And we want to be able to be the masters of ourselves and control what we do on all aspects of life. And we want to be the best at what we do. So we preach that. We talk about it. The kids always trying to improve upon team goals, team academic standing, things of that nature. So from there, and the fact that we Google, so the kids Google you and find out you're a coach that did some things. So they challenge me and we move from there.
Coach, talk a little bit about the culture that you've built there. Obviously, to have success year in and year out and to emphasize the academics and things like that, you want these guys to excel. But what are the main things that make up the culture of Wise High School football?
First, I think we always talk about more responsibility. You have the responsibility to be the best you can at all times. You owe it to your parents, your teammates, your family, everything you do, you have to be number one. You have to try to be, give your best, give 110%. We talk about give everything you have and a little bit more. Next man up. Always know what your teammate can and cannot do. Never let somebody not be effective because they don't know something mentally. Let it be because of athletic ability and not your mind. The mind is something we can control. We control our work ethic and our body. We preach those fundamentally throughout the program, and it's been very successful for us.
Coach, you guys have just right now a tradition of success. The school's been in existence now 12 years. 10 of those you guys have been in the playoffs. You've been a top 25 team in the country. Yeah, how do you, I don't think sustain is the right word, because if you're maintaining or sustaining something, you're probably moving backwards. But how do you guys continually push yourselves to excel?
I think we have young men that buy into the program. We have a rule here. If a person is younger than you, you have to be able to create separation throughout your career. They know if they do not create separation, then the young guys want to play the most. And because of that, they always know they have to grow. They have to get better. They have to be on time. They have to do the right things. The commitment level. When we talk about next man up, we mean it. You know, we've had players drop under 2.5 or what have you, and the next man has come up. You know, they know this. Every man is held accountable for the rules of the team, what we do. And I've just had so many good young men that I think have bought in, and some of the parents and the community and the school environment outside of school, things of that nature, that has been very easy to keep that done.
Coach, obviously you can't do this all on your own, and part of this is putting together a coaching staff. Have you been able to create a coaching staff, I guess, that is going to go out and do everything you need them to do in terms of making sure these guys are doing right on and off the field?
Well, I think when you're involved in high school coaching on any sport, you know that you have to surround it with good people. We have coaches that have played on high levels, but we have well-rounded individuals. I have a lawyer on staff. We have a business owner on staff. You know, we have blue-collar, white-collar professionals, along with a couple of teachers. You know, we surround them with positive people. We also give them opportunities to meet people outside of normally who they would meet. Be surrounded with that type of life. You know, you can come to me as a teacher. You can come to one of our coaches as a lawyer. You can come about business with one of our coaches. And we all played on a high level. So with that, you now see people. You know, sometimes you come in certain environments and you just don't see the outlet. Our kids are able to see outlets. They're able to see new people, new walks of life, and also that you can be successful.
Coach, it's not always easy to manage that type of a diverse group. You have probably, number one, you said everybody played at a high level. So we know that, you know, he's got some ego that they're bringing to the table, and they're all coming from different walks of life. How do you blend all of that together, you know, to make sure that you have a staff that's all pulling in the same direction?
Well, the good thing is we've been together for a while. It took time to pick the right people. You know, we've had some people come and go. I've had about three coaches that was on my staff that's now head coaches in the high school profession. And I have some men that's new that I've watched other staffs, and I try to look for people that's exactly like me, who's hungry, who wants to grow, who wants to keep learning. I think even outside of football, if you're not getting better, you're getting worse, and that's in everything we do. So for me, I look for like-minded individuals. I've been fortunate to keep some guys that's been with me now for 8 years, and some people have come back. So with that, it's grown, and now we have some former ball players that's come back to the program and coaching with us. So that diverse, because of the program has been successful, and we have people that's been there from the beginning. We have some new people, things of that nature, that everybody wants to be a part of progress. We want to continue to get better. Once you don't care about getting better, I think you want to get worse.
Coach, you mentioned, you know, always learning, stay on top of the game. What do you do to continuously develop yourself as a coaching professional?
We're constantly going to clinics. We're constantly meeting one-on-ones with offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators across the country. My philosophy is this. I can learn from anyone. It doesn't matter if your record was terrible. I meet with some high school coaches, and we piggyback our mind off each other and try to grow from there. My thing is, Are you a hardworking individual? Can I see the fundamentals inside of your program? Does it work? It doesn't matter, like I said, what your record is. I want to get better. So if you have something to offer to the table, I'm willing to grow. I'm willing to listen. And I'm looking at the character of the person.
And, Coach, I know that part of it, though, is you got to find those things that you're going to hang your hat on in your program. When you're looking at those types of things you've done over the years, what would you say are the cornerstones for you, the things that you set, you set that this is going to be what we do. We're always going to look to innovate, maybe learn some things, be different, but I really believe in this stuff. We have to do this.
Oh, I think that's easy for us. We want to be physical. That's the pillar of what we are. We're physical. You know, we're a lead power team. We come downhill. And everything piggybacks off of that, our play action, our RPOs, things of that nature. But it all starts with being physical. We want to be way more physical than the team that we're going to play. I think in this era where a lot of people's afraid of contact and things of that nature, we thrive on that. Our young men love to hit. We do it the right way. We're constantly coaching to get better with shoulder pad placement, getting them down, adding new tackling drills. But we're very physical, and that's it. Be more physical than your opponent.
Coach, have you seen, I know, number one, being in Maryland, you guys are facing some, the game, I guess, is facing some criticism. It's potentially, people are trying to ban youth football. What are your thoughts on that stuff?
I think people are just overreacting. That's all. I think it's politics. People want to look at things differently than what it was, but football, the game of sports in general, even when you look at that memo that they have or the bill that they introduced, it's not just football. They're attacking lacrosse, some soccer, things of that nature. So when you look at all the people that's benefited from the game, sports, what it means to everybody about teamwork, commitment, growing in society, about working hard, all the positive things just don't take away some of the bad things. And I think every sport, every part of our civilization, so to speak, has something that could be dwelled upon as negative. But to me, I love football. Football helped me become the person that I am today. I'm sure people could talk about all types of stories that they have about what football meant to them and soccer, lacrosse, all these different sports. But to try to just take that away, take parents' right to have their children play something, to take that away from kids, I doubt that's going to happen.
I know, obviously, the biggest thing surrounding this is player safety. As you look at the things you've been doing and, how you've evolved, over the years, as we've learned a little bit more, obviously, about player safety, concussion, all those kinds of things, how have you evolved as a coach, and how has that played a part in, what you guys are doing now, I guess, to make sure that player safety is at the forefront of what you do?
Oh, my goodness. It's not even close the way the game has evolved and how we're teaching now. I started, when I first played football, they taught us to put the face mask on the chest. Then it evolved from the face mask to the football, things of that nature, down to the shoulder pads underneath the neck. The helmets are different. We used to wear those big brick helmets on your head. So the way the pads and all these different advancement in technology and the rules of the game, I think the rules are doing a tremendous job in making the game even more safe. And it comes to us as the coaches to preach and make sure we practice what the rules and agendas of the game is trying to do. I think us eliminating on all levels of football, eliminating the head contact, which is the driving force of what we're trying to do, eliminate head contact from the game. I think everybody's doing a tremendous job of doing that. There's so many certifications now we have to get and be involved with. As long as we continue to get down into the youth levels, I think the game is going to be great.
And, Coach, how do you affect that, in your community as obviously, somebody who's had a lot of success in the game, both as a player, as a coach? How do you make sure that, those guys who maybe their experience was exactly like yours and that's what they remember of it, how do you make sure they're teaching the newest technique, that they're keeping the head out of the game, et cetera?
Well, for us, the good thing is we have a lot of our former players that's coaching Little League football. So they're preaching some of the things they was taught, and they constantly come back to me and tell me exactly what certification they have to get and things of that nature. But I make my program available to all the little league programs in our area. You know, we're more hands-on. We go down and do a little summer league camp at our neighborhood's feeder program. We do little conditioning, things of that nature. We talk about head placement, strike zones, and all those different things. It's funny that we introducing, I guess, the rugby-style tackling and getting the legs down and things of that nature. So everybody's buying in. This is a wonderful game, and we continue to be moving this game, I guess, to the goal, like I said, to keep head contact out of the game and move to get better.
Coach, it seems like the more success a team has, the more difficult it's going to become. You certainly have a target on your back. You've won 3 in a row. What are some of the challenges you see now as you, prepare for 2018 and going after that 4 in a row?
I think all of us have the same problem every year, just to get the young men to buy into teamwork and commitment. I think today, with social media, everybody wants to be the star, but that's really not what a team is. Everybody have to build towards the team goal. Basically, having the team to come together and understand that this is about team goals, and team goals drive individual goals, not individual goals drive team goals. Once you get a team that can buy into that, then I think that's what off-season conditioning and work is all about, getting the team to love each other, know that it's a family, and grow. And you got to weed out any type of problems that you see may come about. If we can do that, and we've been successful in doing that, then it's going to be another great year for us.
So, Coach, what are some of those specific things you're going to do here, or maybe you've started doing already in the off season that, you get this group? Every year is different. It's always a different dynamic because, guys have left the program, guys assume a leadership role, younger players are moving up. So what is it with this group you guys are specifically working on to get that buy-in you need to be successful?
We make everything a competition, whether we're lifting weights, we're doing agility training. We try to end every session with some type of group strength activity or speed activity or teamwork. We're doing sprints, we'll do a relay, mix up the teams. If we're doing in the weight room, we might put them in a plank, see who can stay up there the longest, make them say our team chant while they're doing it. We do sit-ups together, see who can do the most. They have to do the team chant while we're doing that. It's all about team and group competition. We've been very effective. We're jumping over boxes, we're trying to get the height up. What group can jump this height and things of that nature? So the kids love it. They buy in, especially, like I said, getting to do the team chant while they're doing things. They're all into that, and it helps them remember the words and the new players coming in with the old players and being passionate about who we are and what we do. And it's been very effective.
Coach Parrish, another 15, 20 years down the road, when you step away from the game, I hope you'll have several more state championships by that time. A lot more on the the W side than you do on the L side. But what is it that you want to be remembered for? What is it that when someone takes a look back at your career, they're sitting at your retirement party, then they step up to talk about you? What is it you want to be said about, your legacy?
I was a builder of men. I believe in the young people, my community, every young person I come in contact with, Again, I said we have a moral responsibility to make the young people better. I am all in for that. I try to live my life by that. And if I can keep making young men that's being very successful in our community, in our society, and that would be the overall goal for me.
Coach, I always like to ask coaches at the end of the interview to pick one thing. As you look back at 2017 and the state championship run you guys had, you're doing a lot of great things in your program, so this is not the easiest thing to say. But if I were to say pick one thing that you felt was the thing that helped your team find the winning edge, what would that component be?
I would say commitment. These guys was committed to getting better every week. They never let anything stop them. People getting hurt, the next man step up. They took commitment to a whole new level. Some of the things those guys dealt with during the season, injuries, enforcement of rules, things of that nature. And they never wavered, never had any doubt. They knew it was going to get done. They believed in myself, the coaching staff, and we believed in them. And they did exactly what we asked them to do, win, and win on a high level.
Coach, I wish you and the Pumas success in 2018, and I really appreciate the time you spent here. How can our coaches, our listeners, get in contact with you if they want to learn a little bit more about the things you do?
Oh, absolutely. They can email me, delon.purish@ptcps.org. I'm always on my email answering questions. That's the best way to deal with it, and then we can get intimate on the email, and then we can exchange numbers that way, and we can grow together.
Great, Coach. Thanks for the time that you spent with us here, and like I said, best of luck in 2018.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.